Welcome to Words to Live By, a podcast series hosted by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. Each week, we will share some of the wit and wisdom of Ronald Reagan. In essence, Words to Live By, made up of radio addresses and speeches he delivered from the 1960s through the 1980s. We know that Israel had no better partner, defender, protector than Ronald Reagan. And our 40th president never missed an opportunity to denounce anti-Semitism, bigotry, or prejudice.
There is no room for racism, anti-Semitism, or other forms of ethnic and racial hatred in this country. I know that you've been horrified, as have I, by the resurgence of some hate groups preaching bigotry and prejudice. Use the mighty voice of your pulpits and the powerful standing of your churches to denounce and isolate these hate groups in our midst. The commandment given us is clear and simple. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Those comments were from a speech 41 years ago, in 1983. In this era of strident anti-Semitism, bigotry, and prejudice occurring in our nation, we thought we should focus briefly on President Reagan's campaign against hatred. Again, in 1984, he clarified his beliefs when he was invited to deliver an address at the Young Leadership Conference of the United Jewish Appeal in March 1984.
First, we must teach tolerance and denounce racism, anti-Semitism, and all ethnic or religious bigotry, wherever they exist, as unacceptable evils.
The president reflected on the fundamental principles within our charters of freedom which protect our rights as individuals.
Two centuries ago, those values led Americans to build democratic institutions and begin their constitution with those courageous and historic words, "We the people." And today, our democratic institutions and ideals unite all Americans, regardless of color or creed. Yet, as we enjoy the freedom that America offers, we must remember that millions on earth are denied a voice in government and must struggle for their rights. They live under brutal dictatorships or communist regimes that systematically suppress human rights. Under communism, Jews in particular suffer cruel persecution. Here in our own hemisphere, the communist Sandinista regime in Nicaragua has used threats and harassment to force virtually every Nicaraguan Jew to flee his country. In the Soviet Union, Jews are virtually forbidden to teach Hebrew to their children, are limited to a small number of synagogues, and cannot publish books of Hebrew liturgy. Emigration of Jews from the Soviet Union has been brought to a near standstill. Prominent Jews like Yosef Begin have been arraigned in mock trials and given harsh sentences. Hebrew scholars like Lev Furman have seen their teaching materials robbed and their homes ransacked. And Jewish dissidents like Anatoly Sharansky have been put in mental wards or thrown in jail. We must support Soviet Jews in their struggle for basic rights. And I urge all Americans to observe the International Day of Concern for Soviet Jews this Thursday, day after tomorrow, March 15th. In this world where so many are hostile to democracy, how can Americans best preserve and promote the democratic ideals that we hold dear? Ideals which are the keys to the golden door of human progress.
As of this writing, Americans are focused on the tragedy in the Middle East, hostages held by Hamas. To date, there are over 100 hostages still held in captivity. Media reports on almost a daily basis show Americans overtly attacking each other over issues of religion or race. What can be done to help our society? Well, let's hear the president's formula.
Here at home, I believe we can move forward together toward a genuine opportunity society by meeting two important challenges. First, we must teach tolerance and denounce racism, anti-Semitism, and all ethnic or religious bigotry, wherever they exist, as unacceptable evils. And down through our history, American Jews have been on the front lines in our nation's great struggles for equal rights. A century ago, the 14th Amendment proclaimed the full protection of the law for all. In the 50s and 60s, the struggle for civil rights stirred our nation's soul. Americans must continue that great tradition because even today, vestiges of racism and anti-Semitism remain. Synagogues are vandalized. Jews and others are harassed and mocked. And Nazis and the Ku Klux Klan have attempted to march through black and Jewish neighborhoods. Well, let us reject prejudice, turn our backs on bigotry, and stand shoulder to shoulder for equal rights. Our second challenge is to promote economic growth. Throughout history, civil and economic rights have gone hand in hand. For centuries, rulers kept Jews down by limiting their occupational choices. In our own country, many blacks suffered from Jim Crow prejudice, denied all but the poorest of jobs. But in a strong and growing economy, all groups have the opportunity to advance through hard work, enterprise, and heart.
More about how the president believes we can promote democracy and individual liberty right after this brief message.
The Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation is the nonprofit organization created by President Reagan himself and specifically charged by him with continuing his legacy and sharing his principles: individual liberty, economic opportunity, global democracy, and national pride. We must remain vigilant and work together to share these conservative principles with younger generations. Your role is critical to move our mission forward. Thank you for your continued support. Please visit reaganfoundation.org/give. That's reaganfoundation.org/give.
Now, back to the story. Let's hear the president's formula for international democracy.
To promote our democratic ideals abroad, we must also meet great challenges, and I see three that are paramount. First, we must keep America strong. During the 70s, the United States made a conscious choice to restrict its military development, fervently hoping the Soviets would respond in kind. Well, during those 10 years, our spending on defense dropped over 20% in real terms. We canceled major weapons programs, reduced our nuclear stockpile to its lowest level in 20 years, and slackened in the training of our armed forces. Between 1968 and 1978, we cut our Navy, the fleet, by more than half. But far from responding to our good intentions with restraint, the Soviets launched the most massive military buildup in world history. From 1974 to 1980, they outproduced us in practically every category of weapons. Three times more tanks, twice as many tactical combat aircraft, five times more ICBMs, and 15 times more ballistic missile submarines. By 1980, total Soviet military investment was more than 1.5 times ours. President Carter's Secretary of Defense, Harold Brown, put it very well. He acknowledged a bitter lesson about Soviet practice in saying, "When we build, they build. When we don't build, they build." Since taking office, our administration has made significant headway in rebuilding our defenses and making America more secure. Perhaps you remember the 29th Psalm, in which King David said, "The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." Well, today, America once again recognizes that peace and strength are inseparable. But we've only begun to repair past damage. Make no mistake, if we heed those who would cripple America's rebuilding program, we will undermine our own security and the security of our closest friends, like Israel. And I am not prepared to let that happen. After 2 decades of military expansion by the Soviet Union and a decade of neglect by the United States, we're struggling not to regain the superiority we once enjoyed, but simply to restore the military equivalence we need to keep the peace. A second great challenge is to defend and promote human rights throughout the world. Alexander Herzen, the great Russian writer, warned, "To shrink from saying a word in defense of the oppressed is as bad as any crime." Well, we who are blessed by the fruits of liberty have a personal responsibility and a moral obligation to speak out in defense of our brothers and sisters. We must not and we will not remain silenced. Our administration has repeatedly and vigorously protested the persecution of Jews and others in the Soviet Union and other communist nations. We're also using our influence with countries that receive American assistance to give human rights firm support. In El Salvador, we're insisting that the leaders take steps to end human rights abuse. And although El Salvador is far from perfect, we've seen marked progress. We in the United Nations, Iran's representative, once called Israel, quote, a cancerous growth. And Libya's representative has referred to the people of Israel as, quote, the most vile people upon earth. Well, this so-called anti-Zionism is just another mask for vicious anti-Semitism, and that's something the United States will not tolerate. As I wrote last month to Stanley Blend, the president of the Jewish Federation of San Antonio, the lesson of history is overwhelmingly clear. Silence is never an acceptable response to anti-Semitism. UN Ambassador Jean Kirkpatrick is our leader on this, and let me assure you of one thing about Jean. She is a very tenacious woman. She has defended Israel and stood up for human rights with persistence and courage. But just so no one gets any ideas, I will be blunt. If Israel is ever forced to walk out of the UN, the United States and Israel will walk out together. Standing steadfast with our allies in support of greater economic growth and of peace with freedom is our third great challenge. Our administration is working hard to do just that. In Europe, we and our NATO allies have shown the Soviets our willingness to negotiate and our unshakable resolve to defend Western Europe. In the Far East, we're strengthening our ties to the Asian democracies and developing our relations with China. In Central America, we have supported democracy and fostered economic development. And in the Middle East, we have strengthened our relations with a nation close to your heart and mine, the State of Israel. Now let me take a moment to describe our relations with Israel and our efforts in the Middle East. Israel and the United States are bound together by the ties of friendship, shared ideals, and mutual interests. We're allies in the defense of freedom in the Middle East. The United States was the first nation to recognize the State of Israel. And ever since, our support for Israel has remained unflinching.
We'll close with a few final comments from the President on the State of Israel.
In Israel, free men and women are every day demonstrating the power of courage and faith. Back in 1948, when Israel was founded, pundits claimed the new country could never survive. Well, today, no one questions that Israel is a land of stability and democracy in a region of tyranny and unrest. So this Sunday, as Jews the world over observe Purim, they'll certainly celebrate not only the ancient deliverance of Jews from the wicked, but a modern joy as well, the miracle of the State of Israel. Permit me to join you and all Jews, and I'm now going to demonstrate my own courage, your fervent and triumphant affirmation, Am Yisrael Chai.
Thank you for listening. For more information on the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, including information on how to become a member, information on upcoming exhibits at the Reagan Library, and more information on the legacy of President Reagan, please visit ReaganFoundation.org. And don't forget to like and follow the Reagan Foundation on all social media platforms.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Words to Live By podcast in your iTunes or Google Play stores, and on other podcast platforms as they become available. New episodes of Words to Live By come out every Tuesday. Like what you hear? Check out our A Reagan Forum podcast, featuring great speeches delivered at the Reagan Library. New episodes drop every Thursday. And don't forget to follow at Ronald Reagan on Facebook, at Ronald Reagan 40 on Twitter, and Reagan Foundation on YouTube. Also, search for us on SoundCloud and Stitcher.